People's Portfolio Committee. And in transition to become Revocrats Collective.
To become?
Revocrats. Yes. Revocrats. Not technocrats. So we welcome you and we hope everybody enjoyed the weekend. We know that families go through this and that. We never get to share those moments, the good and the bad. But we wish you all the luck, honorable members. It's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. The agenda is before us. Which is a standard agenda. I take it that we adopt it as it is. Agreed? Thank you very much. On this day, the 15th of October, 1989, some of the Rivonia trialists were released as part of working towards a solution for a new South Africa. So some of us began to see them for the first time. We had never seen them. You'll even remember that with Nelson Mandela, it was imaginary how he looks like. So even some of the Rivonia trialists, who some of them ended up in Robben Island, we imagined how they may look like. So we got to know them on this day in 1989, at least to see them, how they look like in appearance. So we remember that day today in this committee, one of the progressive steps to bring us to where we are today, as South Africa. I think the only living person in that group is Ntatemlanyane. He's the only living one. So he's the only one remaining. So when he goes at some point, we'll be without Rivonia trialists. We thank them for the contribution they have made to bring us to where we are as a country today. We rank among the nations, progressive nations of the world. We also somebody writing in some, I think it's Daily Maverick, saying we are idling in Parliament. We are not doing our work. Hey. We are just idling and losing a lot of time because we are loafer-scapping. Hey. And Africans is a loafer-scap. We are idling. I don't think we must invest a lot of our energy in that negativity, rather focus on the work that we are doing. I think he just wanted to appear in the news. You know, some people, when they want to appear in the news, and that is thought, this is what they do. Then they know we'll respond. Parliament will respond, and they will then get the coverage. The reality is that we are working very hard. We hardly have time. When Cape Town, if people ask you about whether you have been to Robben Island, just to visit, you even forget that there's Robben Island here, or Table Mountain. We don't have time to go anywhere, right? If you go somewhere, it's when you go to Clicks here. You go to Game quickly, you go to the dry clean, and so on. You rush quickly there. Then you are in a bus to the village. You go there with work. From work. You go with work there. You work throughout the night. In the morning, the 7 o'clock bus is leaving, followed by the 8 o'clock bus. And then you are here again. working. Friday, you must rush to the airport. If you are lucky, in the morning. If you are not so lucky, in the afternoon. When you are like me, you arrive at OR Tambo around 8 o'clock at night on Friday, and then you have to drive 3.5 hours to home. So I arrive at home at around midnight, and so on. In the morning of Saturday, very early, there's either a funeral or something. So you leave around 5:30, 6 o'clock. The kids are still asleep by then. To go to this funeral or to go to this event, you drive long distances. In between that, you do organizational work. In between the funeral on Saturday and many other things. And Sunday, you try to rush to the church and so on. Then there are other corporates who are booking you for the afternoon. On Sunday, Monday you are going to the constituency work. You are also at the same time looking at the time so that you must not miss your flight to come back here. So it's that routine. And people say we are idle. Sithini isiZulu baba story sithi baba wethu bayeke kubani abayazi into bayenzayo bayeke. Yes. Honorable Kumbi, you're welcome. Honorable Lady Fighters, you're welcome. We haven't started, we're just doing starters. Yes, it's difficult to reach this corner. We knew that you are coming. So we are now officially opening the meeting. We have two apologies. The first apology is Honorable Carlo. Honorable Carlo, I'm getting it right now. It's not Carlo. Carlo, I was still analyzing. And the second one is Honorable Kalipai. Honorable Kalipa, Chief Chair, is unable to make it to the meeting. Those are the two apologies we have. We are having two substantive items. The BRRR. The second item is the Howick report. We are going to be giving over to the content advisor just to take us through the summary of both. Yes, Honorable Deferreta.
I'm sorry, I forgot I'm sorry to bring you back. Just to mention that Honorable Krembok is on his way. He'll be just a little later. I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
Don't worry, Honorable Deferreta. Thanks for that. For the record, we just indicate that Honorable Krumbok is on his way. The proposal I want to make from the chair is that next week, Tuesday, we do the formal adoption of the reports, both of them, so that we give members time to go through this report once more. Go through them slowly so that by the time we adopt them, we are all in sync. We are all on the same wavelength in terms of familiarization of the content so that we don't move like a pendulum later on. So that will be the suggestion in principle. To the Honorable Committee on People's Tourism Portfolio Committee. So I would want members to digest that proposal whilst we give the doctor of the Portfolio Committee, Dr. Kuzwayo, umfaka kuzwayo simniki ithuba ukuthi asiyenzele presentation la e committee ye tourism so that sikwazi ukukhuluma kahle masiyaphambi ngisikhuluma kahle isiZulu yes sikwazi ukukhuluma kahle masiyaphambili so umfoka kuzwayo angazi ukuthi unxamalala or umthethwa or wakabani phakathwayo but phakathwayo
kwa
kwa so in the Zulu culture is bakamthetho and then
nyambos
oh but the mthetho is nyambos nyambos alo jobe and then yeah we don't say jobe we say jobe yes and then onxamalala
okumbi
asomkhanda
and then osomkhanda abokumbi lawo yeah and then so it's four mainly
it's
the
name
of the name oh I see ah
umdaka
oh daw mina muidi M-O-I-D-I when we are together baidi b-a-i-d-i yeah re batlhapi batlhaping ba gamedi a kgasela ba iphorola ka tshwametseng
sa
I must teach you when I say I must teach you this is batlhaping thing umutsweni Etsweni is monkey. Right? Yeah, then but having is fish. And then cheers.
Likuza.
Yeah. So you are a bit of a mixture.
Yeah.
You are a hybrid.
Yeah, not
hybrid. Okay. Also, you are a bit of a hybrid.
Yeah.
I also originate from the Khoi and the Sel, yes.
Yeah.
You can see it, there. Yes, I'm from there.
We now
confirm. Yeah. I confirm it. The Khoi. So we are the indigenous. Yes, and then oh my fellow Khoi man. And then Chipse Ugopi where? Chipse. Ngitshela se wasempumalanga waka
so we originate from
Makuvela
from the Mozambican side
yes
so today our spirit
there are elections
are with the brothers that
yes.
And sisters that have
yes
yes you know we
yes.
Our group
yes
are found
yes your umbilical cord is
the
there
tension
yes
the
same Zambi
of where you went to for
advice. Yes. Then sabu yakho. Sazala.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, buya kude, man. Yeah. No, that's good. At least we know each other better now. And then honorable De Freitas. we are having some discussion here about our origins. I'm from the Koi and the Sai. This one is from Mozambique.
Yeah.
It's a Mozambique. It's a foreign national.
Yeah.
It's a foreign national. Your little origins?
A small island off the coast of Morocco, called Madeira.
Oh.
African.
Okay.
No.
You are in Africa, the valleys and the mountains and the seas.
So why are you decolonizing Western Sahara?
Sahara, where is the book?
I'm not Morocco.
Oh. That the Gombe was in size. Yeah, yeah, because you came in. Yeah. Honorable Crumbeck? Crumble.
You want to know my origin?
Yeah.
How long did
you last?
Yes. If you want to know on my mother's side, she was descended from people immigrated from the western part of Chinese Asia.
Okay. It
became later known to history in the 4th century as the Han. She has Pomeranian blood, therefore. On her other side, she was related to coal merchants from Aberdeen in Scotland. On her father's side, he would have descended from a group of people in the 1st and 2nd centuries, either the Cheruscai or the Marcomanni, who then settled in what is then was then Upper Mesia and is now known as Austria.
Yeah.
But we're Chinese, Scottish, Spanish, and kind of present German.
Okay, excellent. This is unity in diversity. Real unity in diversity.
For the record, I'm a South African as well.
Yes. Yeah. You are a South African, a real one. Mineral April is welcome here. Yes. No, we are from the same line, me and him. The Queen
the same. So you are the native South African?
Yes, we are. We are. My
but it's for the first time that the case agreed with that.
Yeah, on my mother's side, we are from the Festers. I don't know how to pronounce that saying properly. Something like Fester. Mr. Abrel. Fidel, you saw that we are talking about our original origins.
Yeah.
So I was telling them that Mna, I'm a descendant of the Queen of Sand
people. Yeah, this may mean.
Yes. So me and you and Mr. Boltino, the three of us, we are the natives. South Africa belongs to us. Exactly. We welcome everybody here. Okay, no, that was on a lighter but very educative note, honorable members. So we are now going to give to the doctor himself. Mfoka Kuzwa, Kuti must take us. You wanted to say something?
No, it's
honorable
Peter. Oh, sir, we done this. How? Story. No. Story, Peter.
It's okay.
Good time.
Oh,
yeah, you know. Yeah.
It's not your original sin.
No, not a Koi. It's not related to the Koi.
Yeah. You're not part of us.
Yeah.
He looks more or less.
Yeah.
That is part of
it. Yeah.
Coin of
coin.
Is it Jesus?
If you look at the
yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Oh. What is that? Department of Arts and Culture should go to Kenya.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a cow
in South Africa, it's called White. White. W A G Y I, if I'm not wrong.
W-A-G-Y-I.
Yeah, W. A-G-Y-I. This cow originates from Japan, where Honorable Gumbi was. It is also found in Netherlands and Australia and I think Brazil. So I remember this cow when we speak about Australia. Yeah. It's now one of the registered brands in South Africa. Yeah, why? It is the best steak. You can ever have in the family of beef. Yeah. Wagyu. The doctor summarized, and then after the summary, honorable members, the proposal is that we must go and do more reading. So we are just tabling the report so that you can make your inputs, and then when we adopt the report next week, Tuesday, both reports, we would have given you enough time to once more go through the report. So they've been sent through to us, we have read to them. Now it is the committee meeting. And then the third was going to be the time we have between tomorrow and next week, Monday. Then the fourth will be next week during the adoption. So the report will have gone through those phases. If the committee agrees. Over to you, Doctor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. We are tabling the budget review and recommendations report. It's from us as the collective, the revocrats, as the Japanese notes say. So you will see in the report that it contains some of the information that you would have seen from some of the research papers, from some of the briefings that we have provided for you before, and also synthesizing issues that came from the department and South African Tourism when they were briefing the committee about their annual reports. But the report does not just only look at the annual report. It looks at the entire year. So it looks at everything that happened within the portfolio, both internally within the department and SAT, but it also looks at other external factors that would have affected service delivery by both entities. So issues, therefore, are broader than just the annual report. And it is your report. Well, we have to emphasize that because the temptation is for members then to then start questioning us to say why it is your report. Ours is to assist you to put it together so that you can table it in the House. So as the Chairperson was saying, everything in this report are just proposals and suggestions from our side. You can take out anything that you think does not belong to the report, and you can add whatever you you feel is missing in the report to strengthen it to a point where you are confident that it's something that you can table in the House. We are not going to go through the entire report. We'll just zoom into specific issues that we think are important to highlight. Members would have seen in the email that was sent by Ujiri that we were requesting members to particularly interrogate the observations and the recommendations, because you would have said anything and everything else in the body of the report, but what the executive looks at is mainly your observation and what you are recommending to them. So that is why even when you make inputs, our request is maybe you strengthen that so that the recommendations that you make to the minister are to your satisfaction. I will start from page 6. I think that is important. This being your first budget review and recommendations report, maybe to put to context what this report is and what it purports to achieve. 1.4 that deals with the purpose of this report. It's a statutory report that is governed by Money Bills, Procedures and Related Matters Act of 2009. And in that act, there is a process that is set for the committee to make recommendations to the Minister of Finance to amend the budget of the departments. So whatever that you see, there is a document, ENE, the Estimates of National Expenditure, that will be tabled by the Minister at in February during the budget vote, when it delivers the budget. So that ENE carries all the votes. So next year it will be a new, may not be vote 33 because of the reconfiguration of government departments. My friend may find that maybe we are now vote 29 or 20 because it's a new dispensation. So that is where you will see mainly the effects of what you are doing now. But in essence, the Act says the committees should table this BRRR before the MTPPS, the Medium Term Budget Policy Statement, which is tabled by the Minister of Finance in October. So before that report is adopted in the House, all committees of Parliament should have tabled their BRRR to influence that process. But from experience, we have seen that more over the years, most of your recommendations are not effected during the MTPPS because of the short time frames. But you will see in those thick documents that are tabled by the Minister of Finance in February, there is a document that is called the Budget Review. All the recommendations from all committees are included in that report. So if you check that report in February, you will then see what the Minister of Finance is saying in regard to your recommendations that you are making now. But we don't just look at the budgets only. If you look at the middle of that paragraph, it says in October of each year, the committee must compile the BRRR that assesses service delivery performance given available resources, evaluate effective and efficient use and forward allocation of resources, and then make recommendations on forward use of those resources. So you anticipate what you want to happen within the portfolio that you are overseeing. So in a nutshell, therefore, honorable members, this report is meant to influence the budget of the department, but not just only the budget, also service delivery issues. So that's why you will then make recommendations to both Minister of Finance, particularly around financial issues, then to Minister of Tourism around performance of the portfolio. On page 7, 1.6 is just the outline of the contents. So say what is contained in this report. So this is the format kind of that we adapted from a format that all committees use when developing their BRRRs. So 1.6 is just an outline of what to expect, also to assist with reading the report. So all other information then are issues that we have dealt with, that you are familiar with in terms of the policy and focus areas. You would have seen that because from the first report that you were doing, the budget report, we have been referring to this, the exit governing the department, also the financial and non-financial service that issues. We have dealt with this when you are dealing with the department and SAT. So I won't deal with those issues, but all those issues are contained in those pages that I'm going to skip now until we land on page 49. Because all the pages in between, they'll include all information, including the auditor general issue, so we feel we don't have to go through that because they're still fresh in members' minds. We've just dealt with it. On page 49, we decided, because as we are saying, this being your first report and also at the beginning of the new administration, you need to set out your focus. You need to set out your priorities to the minister to say what is it that you want to do. So we tried to encapsulate everything that members have said in what we call committee oversight approach for 2019 to 2024. So when you read, as the chairperson was saying, please look at that and see if we captured your vision correctly there. But that will be issues that members have been talking to. For example, starting from 8.1 day, from the issues that were raised by the chairperson and members agreed on to say you have adopted an uncomfortable, non-antagonistic, cooperative and restructuring oversight approach, which then deals with rebranding, repositioning, and renewal. So we said let us, and we have seen even on social media, the department was tweeting about these issues, which we felt maybe they have heard what you are saying to them when it comes to these issues of rebranding, repositioning, and renewal. On page 58.1.1, there then is the issue of villages, townships, and small dotcoms, which will be your new focus, and we put some statistics there from the report of the Auditor General, because what the committee normally talks about is that poverty and inequality is expressed mainly in rural areas, villages and small towns. So we found a report that talks to that, that says poverty is highest in Limpopo and Eastern Cape, but then it goes to say if you look at Western Cape and Gauteng, that is where poverty is lowest, which then deals with issues of geographical spread and so on in terms of issues that members talk about. So it's therefore said that survey is important to contextualize that issue of villages, townships and small dorpies. And then the last paragraph there to say therefore the department must have a direct response to those issues when they table their stress plan moving forward. Issues of rebranding and report and renewal, that is our interpretation there of what you've been saying. So we'll request that you also fine-tune it if it doesn't capture your sentiments appropriately. So it will 8.1.2 then deals with those issues, rebranding, repositioning, page 51 until page 52, where we also tried to say what we mean, what the committee meant by a renewal. With rebranding, we're saying you're looking at the industry to say we have issues that have affected the sector. We have issues of the visa regime, issues of safety, issues of wildlife interaction, and issues of land expropriation without compensation that creates perceptions out there to say that has caused negative perceptions about the country. So you need to rebrand the country, deal with these issues. Some of them are issues that you cannot do away with because they are government policy. If you look at issues of land expropriation, for example, you have even a resolution from Parliament. How do you deal with that as a department and SAT? It means you must have some messaging that you, because it's not going to go away, but how do you deal with it? Repositioning, there we're saying, for example, if you look at over the years, emphasis has been more on international tourism, yet the trend out there in the world is that most destinations that are sustainable have a very strong domestic tourism market. So there needs to be repositioning of the sector in terms of not only dealing with international, but also making sure that we have a strong domestic, with all the constraints that we know exist for domestic tourism, but how to ensure that we grow it. And also in terms of a renewal, then there has been decline in numbers and so on. So how do you ensure that we bring a numbers back and we achieve the 21 million by 2030? Then we'll move to page 53, where now we start with key findings of the committee. So these are the issues then that would have come out of the hearings with the department and SAT, plus also other external issues that do not necessarily form part of the annual report. So on the technical issues, we're dealing about issues of the irregular expenditure there, particularly from SAT. Then there was an issue also around key performance indicators to say they are not smart, they cannot achieve them because most of them they don't belong, they are not within purview and scope of their work. Sometimes they can't meet those, as the committee was saying, they need to rework that. There was even a, but you'll see when they go to a recommendation, say maybe they can even employ the services of a independent body that can assist them to ensure that they have smart targets. Then there was issues, usefulness and reliability, particularly of business events. Those are issues that need to be addressed because they talk directly to the issues of auditor general findings. Then there are issues of project management. Project management, members can decide whether we combine the two. On page 55, project management again is 9 points, but the issues we are trying, we are saying at a technical level, they are, because 9.1.4 on page 54 talks to project management as a technical issue that they have to deal with at a departmental level. But 9.3.1, we are looking at other issues in terms of their failure. So I think we can leave them separate or we can combine them, just have project management as one issue because it talks to similar but technically different issues. And then 9.2 on page 54, government and governance and operational issues. So we're looking at the risk management committees in both SAT and the department to say, you have these committees, but they are failing to pick up issues during the financial year and guide the department towards resolving those so that you don't have audit findings at the end. So there is an issue there that members raised, and also the issues about the board itself of SAT, to say the board seems to be struggling in dispensing their fiduciary duties in terms of regression that you see, as much as they have received unqualified audit for the 19th year, which they are, by lack of better word, boasting about, to say, for the night, but you can see serious regression there in terms of the board. And there are many other issues, so that, like, we have resignations in the board, we even had issues, findings, Auditor General was even saying the chairperson of the board needs to, there's investigation needs to be instituted, and so I think everything is not well with the board, so something must be done. Then service delivery performance. So service delivery performance, that is where now everything, including those things that are outside of the annual report, come in. So the issue first there are around project management. We're saying the committee here has identified issues that have been confirmed by the Auditor General in terms of what they are lacking on. The department was found lacking on project management practices, standard construction industry contracts were not used, no standard project management documentation on page 56, issues of purchase orders, issues of payment certificates, even electricity. So they are struggling seriously when it comes to project management, to a point where 9.3.2, the committee said maybe there is a need for the AG to be supported by specialist engineers, but this was a function that the committee was saying maybe the minister needs to take to cabinet, because there needs to be a transversal function where you capacitate the AG to be able to deal with issues of project management across government. Performance audits, to a certain extent, the AG did some performance audits. That's why we came to the findings that we have around infrastructure projects this year. But the committee needs to have a formal communication with AG to say we want these performance audits done, so that you can start. Because the department, when those performance audits were done, the AG told the committee that the extent of irregular expenditure could not be determined because there was no documentation and so on. So more work still needs to be done around these infrastructure projects. Lack of consequence management in both SAT and the department was identified as an issue. On page 57, recurring audit findings, to say these issues that led to these adverse findings are not new. And there are no action plans. I think that was important, that there are no appropriate action plans to deal with the audit findings and issues that have been raised by the committee over the years, meaning moving forward, there needs to be action plans that will be communicated so that from an oversight perspective, you know what you are dealing with. Underspending and effect on service delivery. So the underspending, like the department, the entire financial, they underspent on all their programs, which then led to underspending at the end of the financial year. And given the resources appropriated to the, so you cannot afford underspending. The issue of vacancy rate on page 58, it deals with both the department and the entity. Members will recall that The department said on compensation of employees, the National Treasury had put a ceiling. But also with regard to SAT, you have a lot of people acting. There's an issue with the CEO that has not been finalized, and we had an acting CEO. But other posts have just been filled, like the CFO and the Chief Marketing Officer, which I think is commendable. But the issue of the Chief Executive Officer is still pending, though the Minister gave the committee a reassurance that the matter was being dealt with. Declining international arrivals, which is the major, because if you talk about the 56 performance of the entity, the main and serious target that was not met is this of arrivals, because on that one rests a lot of others. Because if you do not have arrivals at an agreeable rate, then that will affect the amount of tourist spend, because there are fewer people in the country spending. It affects, therefore, generation of revenue from tourism in terms of contribution to the GDP, which ultimately affects job creation. So job creation is a byproduct of arrivals and tourist spend. So the issue of declining international travel is therefore very serious for the country. The domestic tourism, also on page 59, similarly have issues there. And as much as there was an increase, but you look at the VFR, which still accounts for 78%, but there is no conversion from VFR to leisure tourists. So this time around, the entity said they have conducted a study and got some insights that are going to assist them. But the issue remains that the committee needs to see the conversion strategy. What are they going to do to convert VFR into leisure tourism? So page 59 deals with issues of townships and small dot fees. I won't dwell much on that one. 9.3 on page 60 deals with village tourism forums. So we are linking this to the NTSS. We are looking at that together with, on page 61, 9.3.14, where institutional arrangements, because the National Tourism Sector Strategy will be presenting to the committee soon, say outlines the tourism institutional arrangement at all levels of government. So the committee is adding a layer that is not in the NTSS of village tourism forums. So this is a matter that needs to be then addressed with them. Poor strategic planning, it has to do with their targets, but also to say over the years their stress plans have not captured the new approach of the committee. So moving forward, the new approach needs to be translated into their strategic plan. Then the issue of misconception on page 61 of tourism as an unfunded mandate. Tourism is a concurrent function, but municipalities will say it's unfunded. So how can it be constitutional and unfunded? So this is what this committee needs to deal with, to say at all levels of government, because it's a constitutional mandate, therefore it needs to be funded. Then I'll skip 1.4 because I've dealt with to 9.3.14, issues of perceptions of South Africa as a tourist destination. I think that one members know because it has been dealt with at length, so I won't tell much on it, but suffice to say there are issues that we need to deal with in order to ensure that we improve the perception. Maintenance of tourist attractions, this is a recurring issue. Wherever you go, you find that attractions are not maintained. So we just uplifted one here, which this committee has observed in Howick, in terms of how the Howick Falls is and the potential that is there if you were to fix that tourist attraction. Ineffective marketing, 53% of the budget of the vote goes to SAT, but SAT is performing at 56%, so they have put together the 5 in 5 and a supercharged 5 in 5, which are both not yielding necessary results, and the matter that the committee said needs to address. Issues of quality assurance on page 63, that deals with the grading council and the regime of grading scheme itself. So there are issues that the previous committee have been pushing, and we have also heard this committee talking about to say, what about making grading free but compulsory? You take away the fee element so that the issues of quality are taken care of. There's also issues of abusing the plugs, like where the committee was accommodated, members would have seen, and we had members talking about it even here to say they were displaying a plug that expired in March 2016. And maybe, let's put a context in terms of what happens, particularly with Parliament. When Nozuko does quotations for the committee, the policy of Parliament is that members must be accommodated at a 4-star hotel. Now, when they do quotations, they say the travel agent will look for 4-star. And these facilities will then say, we are 4-star graded. And Parliament will procure accommodation and services based on this 4-star. But when you go to the facility, you find that it's a 4-star as of 2016. Maybe the service now is at a 1-star or a 2-star. But they are still advertising and getting business based on... So this has happened several times when the committee went out. It's just that it becomes awkward. I'm not sure how this committee will deal with it, but before... the committee will say, no, let's not raise the issue now with the service provider because it's not their issue now. It's their issue with the credit council, but it becomes a committee matter when now dealing with the minister. Say, minister, these are the things we see when we go out there. So in your first outing, you have already realized that there is an illegal use of these grading plugs. Transformation is a big issue. I don't think I have to deal much with that one, but as the matter was discussed even before, and the B Council is coming to say, there was a study conducted in 2017 which says across the board in all 5 elements of the B scorecard, the sector is not doing very well. So there needs to be a strategy, a focused strategy. And when the B Council appeared before the committee, they had promised they were going to develop their action plan, which was never submitted. That is why they are in your program this time around to say, you need to see these things that they are happening. And maybe what we need to raise here is that people or these businesses will comply in terms of this, because the scorecard deals with a lot of things. For example, if you talk about training, if you talk about empowerment of small businesses and so on, so they will do those things and comply. But you don't have new entrants in the sector and so on and so on. So we have transformation on paper which retains the status quo in terms of ownership patterns. So these are the issues, because if the particular business say we are transformed, you cannot fault them because they have complied with the law. They have complied in terms of the law. But in terms of the sector, is that what this committee needs to see? Or there must be additional programs by both the entity and the department to ensure that you have new entrants. Because even if all the existing businesses were to comply, but the status quo will remain in terms of ownership patterns. So these are the issues that members need to look at when they deal with the BE Charter Council. Now, also, we have an issue of a missed opportunity there, because you see there's an increased spend, but a decrease in tourist arrivals. To say if you were to increase tourist arrivals with people staying longer and spending more, so there will be a speed growth in terms of the sector. Sharing economy is a matter that did not necessarily come out of the annual reports, but is a big issue, and there is a bill that is coming before the committee. We are saying because it's still is a matter that is still alive, that we're still going to deal with. So the minister needs to deal with this issue. because I think members have had sight of the bill. The bill talks mainly to the thresholds, so it does not comprehensively cover the issues that members were talking about. So it's a matter that is still out there for the committee to deal with. Geographical spread, in terms of the spread of tourists around the country, and also in terms of the bids, to say it is still skewed towards the big metros, particularly your Cape Town, Joburg and Durban, is a matter that was raised comprehensive by members. Also, recruitment of beneficiaries working for tourism. There was an issue to say some municipalities would say they don't have people that will participate in these programs. Working for tourism on page 66 now, these are the issues that were identified by the AG plus the committee as well. But the main one is that the department does not have capacity to implement these projects. Impact and value for money still talks to the departmental programs, but also the training programs now, not just the infrastructure projects only, to say you even have training programs, but the department cannot tell you, let's say, of all people that have been trained, where are they now, what business they have been, what is happening around those people that have been trained. So you cannot, therefore, put your finger on the impact of those issues. Then there is another issue, also, which is a missed opportunity there in Daba, which is owned by SA Tourism, to say it can grow big. We were talking amongst ourselves as supposed to say maybe members, even if it is not the committee, we would like the committee, the whole committee, to visit at least one of these big international trade shows so that you can see how massive this thing is. Because if you go and see what happens in Durban during Indaba, that is very small if you look at it. So Indaba being the biggest in Africa, how then can you have a benchmarking with other countries and other events like your ITB, WTM, FITUR and so on? Because those are big events partnered with UNWTO, where you'll have a fully fledged conference along a trade show, which then brings more people and scholars. So there is a potential to grow in Indaba. And public-private partnerships is a matter that the committee has always raised, because it's another missed opportunity there. There is a document that was developed in 2004, which is called the PPP Toolkit for Tourism. This matter has been tested with the department, but the department rejected it to say you can't have these PPPs registered because they need a lot of money and they don't have money, national treasure. Way back, Jerry will remind me, I think it was 2013, if not 2014, we had a meeting, we invited the National Treasury to deal with it. And National Treasury said, no, it depends on the department. They can, if they want, they'll support them, because it becomes a highly technical matter. But this can unlock a lot of money, because the department does not have to put its own money. If the PPP is registered with National Treasury, it facilitates and assists the department. So I cannot say laziness, but it's innovation maybe. Because these are the areas where you can have transformation quick, because they are talking large-scale projects that can be supported at that level, where you can have budget that will be allocated by National Treasury to then come up with new projects. So it's something that we feel the committee still needs to explore. Maybe you can invite National Treasury again so that you test this for yourself, so that when you deal with the department, because if you look at the framework for submitting annual reports, they have to report on the PPPs, and the department will always say, no PPP registered. So it's up to you whether you accept that every year the department will tell you no PPP and you end there, or you want to assist them through some push to have some PPP registered. So given these recommendations, these observations, then there are a number of recommendations. Members will recognize that earlier in the document we enlisted the recommendations that were done to the Minister of Finance. We did not include those of, to the Minister of Tourism. But in the documentation that we have circulated before to members, I think we have circulated the whole document with the previous CSBRRR recommendations and responses. And you will realize that none of them were positively accepted by the National Treasurer. So when it comes then to the recommendations to the Minister of Finance this year, we just say, because it's a new administration, new priorities, maybe the department, if you look at the first one there, 10.1, recommendations to the Minister of Finance. I've just realized numbering there, but we'll deal with it. The issues of finance were saying, maybe the department needs to reprioritize the already allocated budget. There needs to be reprioritization to look at your new focus areas. And that will affect mainly the budget that NDT is implementing. But also with SAT, it can be reprioritized in terms of ensuring that in their marketing strategies, they then ensure that SMMEs and the issue of geographical spread is then more pronounced in terms of their marketing venture. So we don't, like last year, the committee had really went big. They even looked at feasibility of tax and so on. All those were rejected. So there is no new money, honorable members, for the sector. And if you look at the ENE in terms of what is allocated, there is no new money. And it means you need to reprioritize what is already allocated to achieve what you want as this committee. So the two recommendations that were suggesting to the Minister of Finance, therefore, is that the department works with National Treasury to reprioritize budget, and two, that considering all the constraints in the national fiscus, maybe the National Treasury looks at the sector. Because I think, I'm not sure, Chairperson, maybe something that you can take, because with the previous committee, but it got overtaken by events. There was a move where the committee wanted to engage National Treasury directly, maybe to plead the case for tourism, because it seems like even at that level, people do not understand tourism. Maybe something that as a project this committee can look at to. But we have tried before. National Treasury is not easy to find them to come to committee meetings. I don't know why. But we feel the committee needs to address, so that they understand the value that tourism brings to the economy. Because we appropriated 2 billion, but we contribute more than 400 billion to the national fiscal. So you can see the anomaly there. And we're one of the six key sectors, but nobody seems to understand that you need to then give more budget to this sector for it to deal with the social ease of unemployment and so on. So maybe it's not a recommendation here, but we're saying maybe as part of the project for the committee to really lobby National Treasury for, so that if you say to them, please increase budget, it's not like you are talking like any other department. You are a department. You are overseeing a department that has the potential to create jobs. So the understanding should be as such from National Treasury's side as well. So the rest then are to the Minister of Tourism. We grouped them, Chairperson. I won't read all of them. And members would have seen in the email that we said members must look at this and then advise you. because we try to, we reduce from many, because there are salient points. If you match some, you lose something, then the community is saying. So you end up having to separate them so that that issue remains, because if you then match them, then you lose issues. So I'll just quickly go through the grouping. We have a grouping of strategic planning. The very important one there is the first one, chapter 10.2.1, to say when the department and SAT come with their five-year strategic plan, everything that you have been saying must be reflected. Something that has not happened, but that we have power to do as a committee. If you receive a straight plan and a budget that you are not happy with, you have authority in law to reject that budget and request the minister to work it to your satisfaction. But we hope this report, because they have been in meetings, they have been listening to what the committee is saying, they see your new approach. So I think also, particularly from your seat, Chairperson, maybe this is what you can even lobby with the minister to say they must look at, because if you wait until they table the strat plan and you find that all these things are talking about, they're talking about villages, small towns, they are not there, then what will you do? So between now, you can use this report to say, Minister, we have made this recommendation. Please ensure that as you finalize the strat plan, you infuse these issues. Because it becomes cumbersome when then you say you are rejecting. Then that's what I'm saying, it has not happened. Because if you say you are rejecting, it means you are, because you are not just rejecting the strat plan, you are rejecting the associated budget as well. So the department cannot work until these issues are resolved. So that is why maybe committees don't reject straight plans. But we are saying the risk, Chairperson, is that everything that you have said to the department thus far, if these things are not translated into this, then what will you do then? So then in avoiding that, that's why we are suggesting that 10.2.1 is therefore very important. Then also there are issues of inclusive tourism, then also issues of SAT in terms of SMART principles, and 10.2.4 we are bringing the issue of social tourism, because there is an issue that South Africans are not traveling within their own country. So there was a social tourism program where it looks at the elderly, the youth, and so on, and their packages that were put together in the private sector to then ensure that people are traveling within the country. Then you can look at that to say, maybe the department and SAT can intensify that program to ensure that people are traveling. They are also working with stock fairs and so on to ensure that people are traveling, but more can be done. So I think later we can assist them to come and just talk to this issue, to them, what are they doing to make sure that South Africans are traveling within their own country. Then on page 69, then you have issues there of the communication strategy. Here the committee felt the department is doing a lot, but is not known out there. So it comes from there to say there should be a communication strategy to communicate the mandate and programs of the department and also the achievement, so that more people can know what this department is all about. And also the issue of qualifying criteria for the Tourism Transformation Fund, relaxing those criteria there, and prioritization of budget for in the prioritization that we're talking about, to say maybe you need to put more money to the Tourism Transformation Fund if you reprioritize. So that is now a direct recommendation to say in the reprioritization of budget, maybe the minister can allocate more money to the TTF. Then also there needs to be a transformation strategy, a clear transformation strategy to say what are they going to do to ensure there's transformation in the sector. There are those that deal with internal controls and financial management. We grouped them together there. So there is one which is transversal that the committee said the minister must lobby at a cabinet level to ensure that there is an integrated framework for performance and evaluation systems that can be used among. So this can assist government as a whole, not just the Department of Tourism, but also issues of internal controls within the department and SAT, issues of making sure that the Internal Audit and Risk Management Committee provide quarterly briefings to the department. So this is a control measure for the committee, because members will recall you said when they come for quarterly reports, they must come with this risk and management committee so that you can track what they are doing other than waiting for the end of the year. Also, the guidelines that the department should work, because it looks like there's a misunderstanding of the interpretation of the guidelines, which leads to misstatements. So also governance issues, particularly with the issues of the board, they make sure that the board is functioning, investigations and consequence management, the specific recommendations there, and but 10.1 is that when the investigations, everything has been done, those must be shared with the committee. This is important, members, because before there were forensic audits that were conducted by the department, and the committee kept on requesting information on those, and the department kept on saying no, the matters are sub judice, they cannot be diverse. So no information was ever shared with the committee in terms of what happened. So I detected the same sentiments from the department when we were dealing with these issues, where they were saying, no, we cannot divulge issues and so on, we have to wait. So it will depend up to this committee what you want to do. Do you leave it at that, or you want to know what happened? So because other than that, you just deal with issues superficially without going deeper into details. But then the DG, I think, tried to explain the way forward, but the recommendation is those should be shared with you when they are finalized. So strengthening intergovernmental regimes. So this comes from that wheel. Remember the wheel that you always talk about, to say you are the committee to deal with all this. So there are many other departments that you need to deal with. Issues of COCTA, for example. You saw the good example of how municipalities sometimes they will derelict their duty, and therefore you need to work through COCTA and FALCA to ensure that these things are done, and also entrenching tourism through LED, because tourism is an LED function at a local level. So there will be budget for LED at municipalities, but that LED budget will not include tourism. So through working through COCTA, that understanding needs to be developed that tourism also LED, so you need to budget for tourism. But also issues with ACSA. So these recommendations have been there. For example, issues of airlift. So we try to make it clear now to say when you talk issues of airlift, we're looking at what Gauteng, KZN and Western Cape have done in terms of their early strategies, to say you have to bring all these partners to, because if you simply say the department as well as the Department of Transport to develop an early strategy, maybe they don't know. So you need to break it down to them to say work with these people, and we have good practices in these three cities where this has been done. Also, there are specific issues with Department of Transport. We are dealing with licensing of new vehicles for auto operators, and also issues of permits, and that is important. Also in terms of infrastructure, there are some roads. We were told, the committee was told by FEDASA before, that there was a toll package that went through Mthatha all the way to Kunu, and they will go through the Nelson Mandela Museum at Mthatha, there were crafters along the route, people who were sustained by those tours. But they had to pull out because their buses were breaking, so they were incurring more cost on fixing their buses than money they got from, so they had to take it out. Also, at a municipal level, they will go there and find that the museum is closed. So you see the intergovernmental relation. So issues of transport is not just to say fix the roads, but you can prioritize the routes where you have more traffic. And I will skip the rest and go to improving implementation of working for tourism projects. Those are substantive based on what the National Treasury also said to members, but the, what is important there also that 10.2.32, where we are dealing with project evaluation metrics, I think that's important, where the committee was saying you need to have a dashboard so that you can see how many projects are there and what is being done, and so that you, as a committee, can detect issues early on. Around marketing on page 73, that is a group that deals with marketing. Important there is the issue around the supercharge 5 and 5, to say the SAT needs to improve on that. They still need to come back, because remember they came and said they will update the committee. There needs to be a quick update in terms of what is happening in terms of that one. But also domestic tourism, point 35, there where you need to rope in tourism business councils for packages and so on. You heard the department saying even internationally, tour operators are saying South Africa is priced out of market. So there needs to be issues. There were issues before where the committee even suggested, what they called it, was like a dual pricing. Committee even suggested dual pricing before, and the industry came and said, no, but you cannot do that. But this matter cannot be left like this, because one, it deals with increasing domestic tourism, but also deals with seasonality. Because we find that during a low season, there will be low occupancy rate, but hotels are not opening up their hotels for locals through reducing. So they rather stay with empty rooms rather than reducing prices to accommodate locals. So these are the issues that the committee needs to look at. Point 37, Chairperson, we think is important around the China strategy. This matter has been dealt with. Is this, China is an emerging market, a very strong one, and we do not have a focused strategy. So I think the matter that needs to also dealt with the department. Quality assurance is another one. Quality assurance talks to issues of grading and also issues of monitoring. We are bringing the issue of monitoring because it's important in terms of the grading flags. Effectiveness of the conventions bureau there. They had audit findings. They need to deal with their audit findings. But we are saying also in their breeding strategies, they need to be innovative in ensuring that the owners of events, they can take these events to smaller towns. Because what we are saying here is, if, for example, a conference of about 100 people that can be accommodated in a smaller conference facility in a smaller town, so when you bid for that one, you can even include that as maybe a social element of the bid to say you're taking it to that particular one. So that is the BRRR recommendation, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I deal with the Howick now and you deal with the rest later, Chair.
Remember we are tabling.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the you can now do the whole talk to it.
Yeah.
And then we officially table the time. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I won't be long on this one. Yeah. I won't be long on this one.
No, on the first one you took 1 hour
So that was deliberate, because I think the issue that we need to flesh out for members. But on this one, I'll be quick. This one is a report, members, of Hawick. So what happened between the time when to Hawick and now is that the municipality called Jerry, they requested us to give them issues. Then we said to them, no, the report has not been tabled, it needs to go through this process. They said no, because they needed to take matters to council. So what we did, what are the recommendations in this report, is already with the council for their own consideration. So it becomes awkward in terms of the recommendations here, because as a committee, you cannot make recommendations directly to the municipality. You make recommendations to the Minister of Tourism. Yeah, so I think that is a technicality that we need to say, as much as these issues the municipality has to deal with together with the province, but we are making the recommendations to the minister to then engage the counterparts there to deal with these issues. Thank you, Chair.
That's Nepi. Excellent. Honourable members, the thanks, Doc. Thanks very much. We when we started, said that we are going to adopt the report on Tuesday, next week. So basically, here we're doing extended familiarization with the report. So we don't expect discussions and debates and whatever, so that it can sink. So members will then table in the two reports. You go back between now and what should it be? Friday, where we must receive. Yeah, we must receive inputs formally in writing, and then they will be integrated into the final draft. Then the final draft will become the final report on Tuesday. That will be the one that will be heading to the House as part of this BRRR. We formally table the reports. The proposal is that we finalize on Tuesday. Reports must be received by Friday. Let's hear what members are saying. TS?
Yes, Chair. Morning, everyone. I see that you are the lucky one. You've got your phone now. Mine is still in the planner.
Yes, it has just arrived.
Because it was the two of us.
Yes.
Chair, I think there are things that are already in our minds that are not necessarily concerning the BRRR. What if we throw in this meeting what is in our mind, so that we don't have a pile of things submitted to, because it's not the writers of the committee to say this belongs here, this does not belong here. What if we throw them here, I've got this point, so that we agree here that this fits here, this needs to be packaged. Because there's a lot that we want to say, there's a lot that has been, at least a step forward has been taken. What is presented is what was discussed. But there are things that we have in mind. What if we approach it that way?
Do members agree that for the next 30 minutes or so we do the throwing? As TS has suggested. No, she's suggesting that there are things, preliminary views, that we can start expressing in the meeting, and then they can be included in the report. Then the final report will be adopted on Tuesday. So, but it doesn't mean that between today and Friday, we shouldn't send anything. So we will still have that opportunity to submit. Is that agreed? Okay. Let's then start with you, Tears, to do the throwing. So the first rower will be TS, followed by Honorable Krambok, followed by Honorable Kumbi, De Freitas, Date Stole, Date Mutika, Kumba Kumba, April Jira, okay, and then Chief Chair.
Chair, I am not sure whether it fits here. That's why I suggested that the issue of safety.
Yeah.
Where we're saying the Minister of Tourism must continue engaging the Minister of Agriculture with regard to the issue of protests, because those protests sometimes are a concern of communities, but directed to municipalities. That's why we said Minister of Court. The safety part of it, that's why I'm not sure whether it fits here or it doesn't. I need to be corrected here. Okay, sure. And also, I just need to be reminded, when we were engaging SAT, there was something that the Office of the Auditor General, something that they did not own. When the SAT something was presented to us, I just want to be reminded by the meeting, what was it that the Office of the Auditor General was not owning in their reports, in their financial statements? Just want to be reminded. It's not an issue now, if somebody can. You see, it came up in this meeting that you as the chair must lead us as the committee to continuously engage the Minister of Tourism with regard to, one, the bold statements that were said by the president. The issue of tourism was said in the SONA. So, yes. So it's not something out of our mandate to engage, maybe directly to treasury. We can call treasury as the committee. So we base our issue on the SONA statement. You see, Chair, I'm not sure where we can put, we can try to, just to, sometimes there's need to just have to push them, even if, because you can see it will not be difficult for us to engage. Minister, the new minister, have changed tune. She has already adopted our strategy on small door piece, whatever. So we must continue, so that come next tabling of the APPs, at least we will get her there, because he has started to adopt whatever, even if it's not formal, but yes, you can see. I think, Chair, there's this issue of job creation. It may not fit here, but it may fit somewhere, where we must, as a committee, come up with something of job creation and sustainability of jobs. Because a person can't work today and not be working in 6 months to time, something like that, if it does not fit in the Peter brand. It was just that, Chair.
So,
at the end, one of us here can volunteer about that Auditor General's concern about some important information which was supposed to help the AG in doing the audits. Honorable Krambok.
Chair, I'll take this. So, we have a draft public oversight report, are we? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but
you said just, what did you call it, a train?
Yeah. We are tabling. We're tabling the reports to the committee. And then between now and Friday, members of the committee can make submissions. But then there was a suggestion by Honorable TS that even if we are still going to do that, let's allow members here to make some comments that could be included. Then the final report will be adopted on Tuesday. Yeah,
that was my understanding, Chair. So timelines are Friday. It's a very short timeline from the time we have to make submissions on Friday to the adoption of the final report on Tuesday. Is there any way we can adopt the final report a week later? I say this simply because our diaries, you know, get filled up quite a long way in advance, and I have a rather important engagement on Tuesday, and I wouldn't like to miss it. I'm just asking your indulgence if we can delay it by 1 week, and I'll tell you why I say that, Chair, is that looking through this report, a lot of work has gone into it, but there's also a lot of inaccuracies, and there's a lot of contradictory statements contained within the same paragraph, so I'll just mention three. Page 7, it talks about us going to clean up the Victoria Falls. I'm not quite sure that the mandate of this committee extends to going to fix up tourist resources in Zimbabwe. I'm sure they meant the Howie Falls, but it says Victoria Falls. Well, yeah, maybe the committee's reach is longer than I thought. If you look at page 23, 8.5. No, that's on page 7. The last bullet, upgrade of the Victoria Falls. Are we really going to be upgrading the Victoria Falls? And after James Martin went there, but...
Okay, what are Crumble?
The last bullet, Chairperson.
Yes, take care of this one.
Okay, Victoria Falls.
You did mention four-star hotels, and I believe the Victoria Falls Hotel is spectacular, so I'm not complaining, but maybe the Secretary of Parliament would. Okay. So I'm just mentioning that as a, you know, there's a number of typos, that's one that struck mine. But if you go to page 23, Chair, it is a quite an important point of departure on paragraph 8.5, and it's a point that the Honourable De Freitas raised himself. And we talked about the right business model in terms of a public-private sector partnership for that particular facility. Yeah. The report goes on about, it talks about the municipality granting an operator rights, but then it also says the committee saw this as a bad business model used by the municipality. Now, which one is it? Are we going to support the municipality taking charge of this and running it out of public funds, or are we going to say that's not the greatest business model here? They should provide the security, but we should sublet it by way of a commercially based contract and bring some money into the municipality by letting the service providers, the two that were mentioned by Councillor Lake at the time, to rent it. Bring in some money into the municipality rather than actually paying money out. That helps the municipal finances. It also places the hands in the private sector, and they can do it better than the municipality. That's their job, restaurateurs. So there are both things contained in that paragraph. The paragraph isn't clear to me which one we're favouring. It says both. So I think there's a bit of tightening up to do. And then lastly, if you look at some of the tourist decline statistics, it mentions a 40% decline at one point. That was 2 years ago. Right now, we were given on our oversight visit from HACTO, the chairperson of HACTO, a document which spoke about a 93% decline. So I just think we need to get a number of stats straightened out, get the timelines right. And I would like to actually workshop this myself with the local stakeholders there, make substantive inputs into this committee, and I think Tuesday is going to be a little bit too early. So I do want to place on record, in case it sounds as if I've been critical, I'm not. I'm just saying a lot of good work has been done by this committee. I'm extremely grateful that we went out there, because it's going to make a big difference to that town if your recommendations are adopted. But I think having done all the work and having compiled this report in quite short time, let's just perfect it. The last point I'd like to make, Chair, is you made a number of suggestions. They were 17. They've also been referred to as 15. Now there's a bit more. I'm not entirely sure between you and the departmental liaison officer, Mrs. Van Ekak, exactly how many there are, and I'm not exactly sure if they're binding. I'd like to believe they are, because I think the suggestions that you made are extremely important, and I'd like to see every one of them implemented. But in my own mind, I need to be clear, does it require concurrent approval from COGTA, from the MEC for tourism, from the municipality? How does it actually work? Because I'd like to get behind what you recommended, but it's not clear to me whether it's binding in law.
Thanks very much.
In the course of our talking, we can also clarify some of the things towards adopting the report. Just quickly, the Howick report can be done later, but the BRRR1, we have to conclude it by Tuesday, because it's also for the medium term budget policy statement, yes, which is supposed to be done before the end of November. Is it November or October?
It's the statement is
20th of October. The provinces have to do it before the end of November. Yeah. So the deadline is the 25th for the Bitra plan. Yeah. But the Howick, we've got our own time. There's no pressure on Howick at all. No pressure. So your diary is very safe. We don't have to put pressure on the diary.
Not
Ontario
or
even.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Just two matters. On the one, they speak about the airlift strategy, and I'm not sure possibly if there can be a small edit there to include some level of emphasis on the fact that costs are in particular an issue around travel, because when you talk about an airlift strategy, the way in which you read it gives an emphasis of the fact of where flights or people are coming from necessarily to buy those kind of flights, but the idea of costs and the taxes of that to be reduced. The second matter, which was we've spoken
so,
about.
So basically, you are saying we must work around a package of incentives around which must include.
Sure. Perhaps I'm trying to emphasize more on that, because it can get lost in the way in which it is written. The second matter, which I think the committee has spoken about quite considerably, is with regards to the role of embassies abroad. And in the section that speaks about intergovernmental cooperation, I'm not too sure it's actually really highlighted about how embassies play a role in actually driving tourism from abroad to South Africa. And I think we must be more specific about that.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few points on the BRRR report. On page one, the second last sentence of the second last paragraph, it says that the committee will therefore effect a paradigm shift from international tourism to domestic tourism. I don't remember us saying that. I remember us saying that we would be emphasising both. I don't think that, I mean, certainly we'd be emphasising more domestic, that was agreed. But that doesn't translate into not emphasising international. No, we must emphasise both. So perhaps that sentence could be changed. And then on page 62, the last sentence on that page talks about the lack of tourist attractions. Page 62.
Yeah.
Under maintenance of tourist attractions, 931. Yes. It talks about a list of tourist attractions that are in decline and so forth. We did discuss it at length, and I just wanted to say, should we not in the I don't know if it's appropriate in this report, or if we should, as a committee, have some kind of a asset register, if you like, to monitor these tourist attractions and see the state that they're in, and monitor it in this parliament, to see that by the end of this parliament, we've ensured that a lot of these tourist attractions that have been dilapidated have are upgraded and are an attraction to tourists. I don't know if it's appropriate to put it in this report, but I know it was discussed, and I think it would be an important action point for our committee to do, to make sure that, or to do oversight on local authorities if this kind of thing happens. So I just wanted to point that out. And then on the next page, page 63, the last paragraph, the last sentence of paragraph 9317, it talks about the poor performance, and I wonder if we shouldn't be saying more about that. It kind of just makes the statement, and so I'm also seeking guidance. I'm not sure if we should just perhaps also monitor as a committee, or perhaps say more. I'm happy to think about it and then talk to the relevant officials in that regard. And then on the same page, the last paragraph on the next paragraph, the last sentence on the next paragraph, 9318, the grading issue. And I do feel, Chair, you mentioned earlier on, or somebody mentioned earlier on, I think a lot of the problems would automatically be eliminated if we were to push that the grading system be free, so that it's not an extra burden, and there wouldn't be the requirement to lie, as our experience was when we did a recent oversight, because it would be, you'd be graded and the grade would be honest, because there wouldn't be an extra cost. So perhaps it's something we should pursue. I just want to double check. I think that's it. Yeah, thanks, Chair.
Okay. Problems with toilet?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the first one is this one on page. On page 4, the third paragraph, when it's talking about
B-R-R.
Yeah, B-R-R, yes. Okay. When it says, start with the vision of the National Tourism Sector Strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the Ubuntu, I think it should be Ubuntu stroke Ubuntu.
Okay.
Yes. And then another one, Chairperson, I was checking the BRRR recommendation of 2017-2018, page 11. And then link that recommendation to our recommendation on page 67.
Link which one?
Recommendation number one on page 67. I'm trying to check there if you can.
Not written one, but we'll
call it one. I'm trying to check there if you can combine those.
67.
Yeah, 67, and the 2017-2018 recommendation. Because it talks to our approach to our local municipalities.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and the fellow committee members. Chairperson, let me start by appreciating the report as presented by the content advisor. Chairperson, I think before everything, I want to talk about the transformation as it is alluded in many cases, in many paragraphs. Transformation in Chairperson should start here. I'm looking at what the content advisor has said, that sometimes we would like to be somewhere and be accommodated somewhere, but the requirements or the standards set by the parliament not allowing us at times. So, and
I'm saying, Jefferson, if we talk transformation, we must transform ourselves. We can't make noise about transformation and expect others to do it, and we can't do it. I'm still saying, I don't know what led us to that place when we visited Hawick, that place we spent night, because the tone of this committee is transformation. So it means transformation means first empower the previously disadvantaged. So that must be a priority. If it means we go to three-star against those status, standard sets, let it be. If we can't find any previously disadvantaged on that four-star or whatever, because we can't talk something we don't practice. Okay, that is what I wanted to start with. Coming to the report, Chairperson, I think it is very important as the committee calling ourselves the people's committee. We put people first. So if the budget from the department doesn't talk to our priorities, collectively we must stop it. We must reject it collectively. So that there we don't play partisan. We doing it as a committee that has put priorities, and that priorities there is no money on them. So we can't get on with it like that. I mean, if we are sticking to this thing of being the People's Portfolio Committee of Tourism in the 6th Parliament. The next thing, this issue of, it is coming again, this issue of land expropriation without compensation being a threat to tourists, or it is, to me, it is something that is cannot be accepted at all. And we, as a country, we cannot compromise our key policies just to appease the agents calling themselves tourists. Tourists cannot interfere with the policies of the country, more especially transformation policies. So we must never ever try nurse feelings when we come to that. Finally, or the last one, I'm supporting an issue of that. Let's call treasury and come and motivate the importance of tourism, the importance of this of tourism department, because I've been saying this from the beginning. You know how the government is valuing the department. You see by the budget. You see about amount of money they give to it. I think the last point, the lesser one is sports, then comes to tourism, then you go. But we have a case here to treasury, to stay to the treasury. If tourism is only given 2.4 billion, but can contribute 425 billion to the national fiscus, what does it mean? It is productive, it is of high value. 425 billion, and then you only give them 2 billion. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And again, it contributes to 1.5 million of jobs that are here in the country. And it contributes to 8.6 of the GDP. So we have a case to motivate to treasury. I think we must invite them, and then we must have head on with them. Thanks very much.
Chair, Honorable Kubakumba has donated a minute to me. Just a second, Chair. I was just to say, Chair, I like the way it has been put, issue on internal controls. But under 9.3.4 on lack of consequence management, that's page 56, there I don't think we have focused the department just to direct them in what they must do under lack of consequence. I will frame just a small sentence and submit it around there so that we focus the department.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much, but I'm reclaiming my minute. Thank you, Chair. And good morning, members of the committee and our officials. And let me welcome the report from Doctor. It is very comprehensive. Thank you very much. Chair, I would, however, like to make some contributions because I really don't like to submit through writing. I like speaking. So the first issue which...
Your contribution is here and now.
Yes, and I wish doctor can note it now.
Okay.
Yes. Chair, I think I like the manner in which doctor has put the view of the committee to say that, especially in page 69 of the report 10.2.11 on the under recommendation. It says the Internal Audit and Risk Management Committees of the Department of South African Tourism should provide quarterly briefings to committee on their work, on how they work. They are working with the Office of the Auditor General to mitigate those risks. Chair, I would also like, because I doubt if there is the working relationship between the audit committee and the South African Tourism Authority. So I would like us to also stress the matter of ensuring that they strengthen the relationship also, because it will not help us to advise them when the relationship is already not there. But the issue here is about strengthening the relationship of both. Because if we have very good relationship, I don't think we'll have a problem with quarterly reporting. Because it's a legislated matter, and it does not even have to compromise that the audit committee has to report quarterly. Even at the lower structure, which is the local municipality where I'm coming from, they report quarterly to council. And I think we function almost the same way on how the performance, in particular with finances, is happening. So that is my worry. It shows that there's no relationship at all. So we need to emphasize that they need to strengthen that relationship. And, I don't know, I want us to take a chance here. I'm not sure. Because there is a document, with my experience, of a management letter, Chair. A management letter is a letter that is issued by the Auditor General, but it is kept so secretively in the sense that you will never know. And it entails very, very informative actions of where things went wrong. But the Auditor General will actually hit it high when it comes to the committees. There are very, very deep things that we need to know. Coming from the letter, but they call it management letter, before the AG can come, they discuss it only with us, both Troika, Chief Whip, Speaker, and Municipality Manager, and we hide it for all of them to know. bad things that are happening. So, as a chair, I think only you alone, at least not all of us, maybe if you can request to see it, I think you'll help us.
Access to Information Act.
Yes. Oh, yes. Maybe, I don't know what do they call it at this level of national, but my experience, they call it management letter. Yes. It has a lot, because there are things that are wrong here, which are very much highly highlighted, and it worries me. And we are not dealing with the root cause of the matter. We are not scoper, but it's our duty to play an oversight chair. And my other point here, Chair, is about matters of emphasis. You know, in the audit term, there is a term called matters of emphasis, where they outline, you know, on a very lighter note from management letter itself, they outline a list of about 100 or 20. How many did we get? You know, the Auditor General was not open enough to us, even the department, to tell us how many matters of emphasis were raised with them. They will tell you about 3 or 4. You will find we have 50. And even from the previous financial years of 2016, 2017, 2018, how many were solved? So I think on the sideline, even if it's not on the report, can we have that? I know it shouldn't be on the report. Can you have that? Because we may not have another opportunity to discuss this. Hence, I'm raising them, Chair. The CFO in the previous meeting, Chair, said they have underspent with 2.1%. Chair requested for a report for him to unpack the 2.1%. Millions which were underspent. And it's unpacked because of the AG. There are many reports that you're requesting which are not coming forth. I know what I'm saying shouldn't be on the report, but this is how I feel, I must say it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the drafters of our BRRR report, because it's our report. We've done its own work. What is contained in the report reflects our deliberations with the department and the entity, and we can safely say the recommendations are what we have been recommending in our various portfolio committee meetings when we were engaging with the department and both the entity. And then, excuse me, perhaps if this is contained in the report, I just missed it. The issue of the proposed oversight model, the LIDOSA that we have adopted as the committee, to say this will be our approach when we do our oversight with regards to the committee in the legislature and the municipalities, so that we have a coordinated approach to oversight. You know, we've even put in a concept paper. Can that also perhaps be reflected on the report? Because I know for a fact that we even adopted the concept document on how our oversight would be structured in a way that would be coordinated. Because at times, it's not only the national department and the municipalities that must also do something. The provincial legislatures also have a budget within the local economic development departments to also be implementing some of the tourism products that we want to see in the provinces. And then the second and the last one, Chairperson, is a proposal on the India on the China India strategy to say perhaps I've heard the department and the entity constantly saying they are developing an India, a China India strategy or India China strategy. Perhaps moving forward, or what could be reflected as our recommendation, is that we pull those things apart, because India needs its own strategy and China needs its own strategy. You know, when you speak to the Chinese people, they will tell you that their concerns around South Africa is the issue of safety and also the issue of our country not being such a user-friendly country in terms of their signage and so on. So you need a different strategy to these two markets. Perhaps when we start putting them apart, not putting them together, we would get what we want. Because I see also on our report, it's reflected as the China strategy, and then I don't know whether India also is coupled there. So that perhaps when we must put it explicitly, comrade doctor, to say as we try to assist the department in our recommendations on leveraging on this growing what you call markets, we get our share, but getting our share will mean that we will have to have comprehensive strategies that will be pulling those two growing and emerging what you call markets. We've the previous committee acknowledged the fact that for an example, China, there were countries who received Chinese nationals in numbers, but we only had 3% of the market share, which was performing below average, if we can put, for a lack of a better word. And then I'm still to draft something and submit to the drafters, but I just felt I should just talk about it to say let's maybe separate the two. And that's my submission, Chair.
Okay. That's brilliant. We agree on that. I thought somebody will respond to what TS was saying about the Auditor General's consent. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think the issue where the Auditor General having to wait for the entity to include certain aspects of the outcome, not necessarily the outcome, the process of the disciplinary processes towards the CEO, you know, they had to retract their report and allow for the entity to be able to conclude the process that they were having at that time, because that needed to be reflected on the audit outcome. That was, I think, if I'm correct, Honourable T.S., that is that the Auditor General had to retract their own report and await for the entity, so that the conclusion of the process within the entity can also be reflected on the audit outcome.
Yeah. That is indeed the case. Honourable Krambok Howick, it's not Victoria Falls, so it will be corrected. and thanks for that attentiveness. Yeah, information overload. So that will be corrected. Maybe in future there will be a relationship between Howick and Victoria, because both of them are false. Right? That's not bad to say when you are in Victoria Falls, you can continue to Howick Falls. Right? And then the around the municipalities, our emphasis is on what Honorable Krambok is saying around the options of getting that facility right. But we are also saying the municipality must explore other viable options at their disposal. So we were saying we will not impose to them, but we prefer that they get into a triple P approach, because Hawick is one of the small dorpies that we think needs to be promoted. Linked to that, we said the strategy around tourism there must also be linked to Mpopumeni, to link the two. And so that tourists experience the two at the same time. And so we agree with you on that. But this one has got no deadline, so we can still work on the report. And I think that the committee is agreeing that if both the province and the municipality request some other things where they want to take decisions, let's send them. It's agreed, so that they can start processing issues. So that is agreed too. As Honorable Gumbi was talking about, the strategy around incentives with specific emphasis on costs. So I think we are agreeing to that. The issues that Honorable De Vryt has raised in principle, he pointed to them. I think we agree to that. Honorable Sithole raised the possibility of linking the two and so on. So Doctor, you will come back to that. Honorable Moteka raised the issue of transformation, which relates to facilities and so on. I think we agree to that. I don't know where does this policy come from Foster, because if you've got homestays, at the same time you've got a policy that says it can only be minimum Foster for you to occupy, it's a contradiction. And if you are pushing transformation, you also have to lead by example. So I'm sure we are agreeing to that, and I'm sure the committee administrators will be alive to the fact that the committee is also prepared to enjoy the realities of underdevelopment in South Africa. And we don't just wish it for others. So. And in the same vein, we have agreed that the committee going forward in the double Tino, our meetings will go to, in Cape Town here is the townships. So it will go to the township sometimes and the informal settlements. So it will be townships, informal settlements, to go and experience a Chesanyame in some little corner, Yaga Mr. Ngubani. So that will do, but we'll also go to Robben Island, we'll go to the Mountain of the Table, we'll go to the Flowers, we'll go to Fish Hook. Yeah, included in that, we'll go to Orania, Michelle's Play, all of them. So for the next 4 years, we'll be doing a lot of meetings outside. So if we go to a Mukuku, for instance, we'll just request them to give us one of the rooms, or we sit in the yard with plastic chairs, and set market, whatever they can serve. Yeah. And if we're to pay them 5,000, at least by the time we leave, they've got 5,000, whatever amount, 10,000, right? And I know some of us will have on that day faster heartbeats and so on, but that's okay. Our heart will be beating faster. So we'll be among the masses, right? The issues that Honorable TS has raised, I'm sure they are noted and accommodated. Honorable Gumba Gumba has also raised those particular things, particularly as they relate to BRRR around audits, and both internal audit, external audit facilities, instruction from the Auditor General and so on. You want to say something, Honorable Apre?
Yes, Chair. I think, Chair, if you know me and you have observed, no, I want to go
observe. Okay.
You know, Chair, I went with all of you to Howick.
Yeah.
Can you see how quiet I am in this meeting? Because there's something that's bothering me and I haven't touched on it. Doesn't help, we come here, we want to say 1, 2, 3 about
the strategy, the disaggregation or separation of the two. I think we agree to that. But also I think we must say that because the President in the State of the Nation address spoke about tourism in the context of the BRICS relationship, the BRICS trade agreements that have been signed. So we need to do it in the context of the BRICS working relationships also. So we agree to that. And just to remind the honorable members that we are going to be doing too many things, but there are three key things that we said that the committee is going to be, as Chief Chair was saying. The first one is on strengthening oversight, working with legislatures and municipalities. That's the first one. It's in the context of IGR, but on the side of doing oversight. So we agreed on those quarterly quarterly legislature oversight kind of engagement, some kind of forum between us and legislatures, and also like Salga. That's what we are going to be focusing on for the next 4 years. The agenda of those meetings will bring it to the committee. But among others, it will be a standard agenda. It's on the budget, that is of the national department, the boards, SAT and the provincial boards. It will be also of the local, broadly the APP, right? Implementation of the annual performance plans. And then we'll do oversight on the budget. We also spoke about the indabas, that there must be municipal indabas as a build-up towards the annual indaba. So part of the agenda of this quarterly meetings with us and the legislature will be this particular matter. Linked to that, it will be how the community-based oversight forums, as Chief Chair was saying, actually executing their mandate. So it means the provinces will be reporting to us as we meet on how those oversight bodies are doing that. Focus number two is infusion of focus on where poverty is highly concentrated. Where poverty is highly concentrated and using tourism to overcome those challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And that is the village, the township, and small towns. Focus number three is transformation. And we have said that transformation agenda will measure it between September that has passed and the next September. We call it the launching kind of phase, foundation phase to intensify transformation. For the next 4 years, every September we'll be looking at what progress we have made on transformation. So, and I'm sure it's going to be hotter than it is as we deal with those issues. But we'll come back to those other matters that have been raised in the meeting. So it's three areas of focus for the committee going forward. I'll come to you, Honorable Kumbi. And we said we are undergoing three phases. So the first phase is the rebranding, Honorable Poltino. So this rebranding is about this variable called tourism in the economy. But inside this variable called tourism, there are challenges there, right? And those challenges, we constitute them under a rebranding opportunity. So if you have a challenge of airlifting, the solution to it becomes an opportunity to deal with it, right? Then the second phase is rebranding. I mean rebranding, the second one is repositioning. So whatever challenges we have identified, which are rebranding opportunities, becomes our repositioning program. If it's audit outcome, if it's whatever, becomes our repositioning. So whatever we achieve, then becomes our ultimate goal, which is renewal. So it's rebranding, repositioning, renewal, three stages of development, right? You are born, you live, you die. Right? Okay. So we will still allow members between now and Friday to make input in writing. Next Tuesday we adopt the final report. Just before we leave B-triple-R, in the annual report of the department, you remember we said the department must give us a list. Somebody spoke about this establishment on page 208. There's a list of some of them, 32. And then the other problem we have, which is on page 209, which I think must be in our B-triple-R, because one member raised it last week. It's around this advance payment.
Yes.
They're on page 209. On 209, the department is saying there that they have done advance payments to implementing agents for the EPWP, Destination Development Project. There's a list of these advanced payments that were done there. All in all, it's 22. And the department doesn't say it's in line with which clause of the PFAB and how then later they rectify that by complying with the PFAB. So those advanced payments, they are on page 209. So that as part of B-triple-R, we must just identify it and indicate that it has to be a remedy. And I think somewhere we agree that the committee will work with SCOPA, Auditor General, and the department to work on SAT's problems around audit challenges. So we are done now with B-triple-R. We can get that to the hands, but before we do that, oh, you wanted to clarify the matter of being under the score. Let's see, go and look for your phone. We don't want to struggle some of us to get all over.
Yeah.
Because we need you more than ever before.
Thank you.
Yes. You are one of the reliable frontline troopers of the revolution. Malibongwe. Yes, the doctor.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of the issues members raised are doable and will be assisted also with those submissions members will be making to Chair. But there are a few things, Chair, I want to raise in terms of what was discussed. One is this issue of traveling for members and being accommodated in lower than four-star accommodation. That is parliamentary policy. Now, to assist UNOSU who was seated over there, we'll request the committee to make a formal resolution on that one, to have a letter maybe signed by the chairperson. That can be submitted to committee section,
yeah,
to say you forgo this privilege. So
no, not for going person. Not for going person. We are saying in addition to the four star, as a committee want to go an extra mile and go and experience service, not just accommodation. Service in the from zero up to three. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also about economic empowerment through the community.
Thanks for that, Chair. I think maybe something, that will be coordinated so that it facilitates process in that side. Secondly, is the issue that was raised by Umondise. The issue, Honorable Sithole, of 2017-18, linking to the current recommendations. The template says we have to indicate what were the recommendations in the previous financial year and what were the recommendations of the minister and what is the assessment of the, if you look on page 12, the evaluation of responses 3.1.2. So the intention of that one is to say this is what the committee said, this is what the minister said. So, and the opportunity to interact is when the minister tables this thing in February and we see these recommendations and we track them and to say, are we happy or not? But already you have responses from the minister there. In a nutshell, the minister said all these things that members were saying are not doable. So we are coming with new recommendations now for this financial year. So the linking, the problem is if we bring this and we already know what the minister said, it will then undermine your new. So my suggestion, Chairperson, will be the process that members have agreed on to deal with national, that is where these 2017, I think we can even go further than 2017. Look at all the recommendations that were made in that interaction with national trade in the past. So that we have a comprehensive list of issues that we have raised. Because we'll find that over the years, the Minister of Finance will say, okay, we have given you the GIP, for example, tourism incentive program came from the recommendation, tourism transformation fund came from the recommendation, issues of domestic tourism, there was once a ring-fenced budget of domestic tourism and so on. But it doesn't encapsulate everything that members have done. So to escalate issues to a level where we are talking comprehensively about reimagined budgeting for this committee, I think let's take that process. I'm not saying let's not do that linking, but I think it will be helpful if you do that in a structured meeting where you say these are the issues. Because already he has rejected 2017-18. So we have to make new ones in terms of reprioritization. So I'm just wanting to clarify that, Honourable Member, so that it is not that maybe your issue is lost, but we need to take it to an upper level where you are sitting face to face with some of the officials and dealing with these matters. So it's just to say it's going to be kind of problematic to link it. Because already we have said this is what he said and he rejected it. So now the linkage, that is where, unless maybe if there can be something that member can draft exactly, but from where we are, we think it's going to be problematic to then infuse a new matter with an old matter that was rejected. Because if you, the minister will even tell you about things that you know, to say no, you cannot talk about it because already you have Tom Salib and so on and so on. But the issues that we have to talk about in terms of Tom Salim to say the contributors are less than or what you need and you see. So I think we need to take that into a proper meeting with National Treasurer where we are looking at the issues holistically. Then there is the issue of a management letter. Honorable Gomba raised that issue. It's a matter that was raised before. But in the response from National Treasurer, they said that is an internal auditing issue between them and the executive. Because what is contained in that management letter are the issues that between the AG's office and the minister would have been resolved that do not need attention of the committee. So they only take to the committee the findings. Because they will say, for example, they take the issue of misstatements in the department this time around, where there were issues raised by misstatements. That those issues will be contained in the management letter. But if they were not corrected, then the AG will say, we raised this matter and it was not corrected, therefore it is a finding. So I'm not sure that for Chairperson, because it's a matter that was raised and that is response, unless if you want to go through the same process with the AG. But they said, no, that is an internal arrangement between them and the executive in terms of what they say, correct this, don't correct that, so that you get the final product. Then the issue of advanced payments that the Chairperson is raising in the annual report.
But just before we get off that, Doctor, we hear what you're saying, but remember that everything that is discussed there is about the taxpayer. Now, everything that gets to be audited, everything that gets to be implemented by the department, the allocation from treasure, concerns raised by AG through the management letter, is about the taxpayer.
Yes.
So I think we will still go back to them in the context of us having to work in a transparent manner around this particular issue.
So in that case, we'll then include the recommendation. The last one is on advanced payment. I also wanted to provide clarity because the matter that was raised before, and there was a response from the department. They are saying the EPWP project, the nature is such that the implementers they are using, their BEE businesses that do not have capital to implement this project. So they agreed with Public Works to give these implementers advanced payments so that they can be able to implement projects. So that is the response. So maybe the method that can...
non-compliant. They are not understanding.
Okay, then we need... Okay, we included the recommendation. I just wanted to put that to say these are the methods and how they were dealt with. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. They're not compliant. Because it increases the risk. But then if they don't put measures in place to, in the course of doing that, to comply. All right. So we are done with the... Okay. You want to say something on the triple R?
Yes. Chair, for me, is the last thing, Chair. I think also, Chair, Honorable Jeffrey has also raised this issue, which keeps on coming. The issue of grading system.
We are asking
compulsory or I'm not sure, Chair, given that the bill is still on the way to the portfolio committee, and also the grading council will be in the committee in 2 weeks' time. So I'm not sure whether really we need to express ourselves at this stage or not.
Yes. No, as the committee, because this matter has been raised in the past, we are saying it must be included in our report, and that when we meet with the grading council, we're going to be raising the matter. But as you say also, as we deal with the bill, we'll also attend to that particular matter. So I think it's okay that way.
Chief.
Then we return to the forest.
No, Chief.
The point was on the point that you were summing up to a large degree the points which are going forward, and there was a point that was just missed out, specifically around the embassies internationally, to make sure that it is included as well, because I think that it had cross support.
That's why one of the things we must do with what Chief Chair was saying here one day as the committee, I work on that, is to get the Chinese ambassador coming with a delegation to the committee here so that we don't come across their issues via other third parties. They raise that directly with us, they can bring their tourism people.
And we also discussed with them on maybe a trip we can undertake to China to deal with these matters of tourism and how we can work with the embassy to execute. Somehow we must go to China.
Yeah.
Somehow we must go to China. Yeah, somehow we'll go to China. So we'll discuss that with the ambassador. So I'll talk to the ambassador that they arrange we arrange a meeting with them to come to Parliament. We meet with them or we go to their offices in Pretoria to meet with them. Right. I'm supposed to
make and it's reflected in this report. I remember, for example, 60 jobs being lost. I remember there was 5 jobs lost in the Hakto Tourism Information Center, and there were other 6 jobs mentioned by local businesses. That made it 11. If there's a subsequent figure, I'd like to do that. But I would stress that it's not going to be tabled, or it's not going to become something which is workshopped or become official before it's ATC. In that instance, I totally agree with my colleague on the other side of the table or the room. But I wanted to contribute properly, saying to the content advisor, because that's, as I understand the process, this is what I thought was tabled. Can you check this figure? That was the process which I thought I was undertaking in the interest of simply confirming the report. And no doubt he would share that with the other members and with you, Chair, and we'd arrive at a consensual decision. Might have been a misunderstanding, it might have been a miscommunication, it might have been that I was wrong. But we would end up with a situation where we had a report exactly as the member just said before me that we could all sign off on. So let me raise that issue because she's absolutely right. You know, we can make these statements about people and refer to black people as stinking, which I think is absolutely unparliamentary. It does not belong in this committee. And the reason I say that, Chair, is that I can also refer to what I've done in Mpopane. I've arranged for a donor, for example, to contribute 40,000 rand a month to upgrade one of the worst schools in the whole of KwaZulu-Natal. I don't know how many people speak Zulu in this committee, but if you speak Zulu, you'll understand the name of the school, Juluko Mdoda, which means sweaty men, right? And the school is terrible. The ladies lose, don't have doors, the poor girls have got to go there, the girl child learners, and everyone can look in. So we've got a program there running where a local donor from Howick contributes 40,000 rand a month as part of our social responsibilities that we do. So we can have a bragging list about who's done what. That's not the point. The point simply is this, Chairperson. This committee has never been what we saw today. So whether you say it's a point of order or not, that's actually not the issue. Whether you agree about what people did or didn't do at that oversight visit is also not the issue. The issue I raised was, Honourable April looked at me in the eye and he talked about people getting predetermined contracts who are our friends for that Gorge Walk kiosk. And that is unparliamentary, Chairperson, in my opinion. You can't impugn corrupt practices to members of this committee, and if he didn't mean members of this committee, then he needs to tell us who did he mean has got these contracts to hire out that kiosk for private enterprise. We can debate about whether the municipality should run it. That wasn't the Honourable Defatus' view when we were there. And I happen to agree with Honourable Defatus. I think it should be a private public sector partnership. And I expressed myself earlier this morning. But I don't think it's parliamentary to come to this committee and impugn that members of this committee already know who the people are who got that contract, have predetermined that contract, and they are the members of the committee's friends. I think that is out of order. And I've asked you to make a ruling on that. My last point, Chair, is the reason I asked for that is that I can't remember where I spoke to you about this, but I'm going to say it now so it can be recorded by the committee secretary, Jerry Altino. When this parliament started and Martinus von Schalkwyk was the Minister of Tourism, he had left the Democratic Alliance under very difficult circumstances. We all know about that. And Gareth Morgan, who was the Deputy Shadow Minister of Tourism, had eyes on that committee even then, went to see him and we said, we don't want this committee to be a site of struggle. We don't want party politics to actually affect the relationships so that we can't do our work and we end up exactly as Honourable Makashela
Makabela Mashele was saying earlier, now I'm struggling with her name while you struggle with mine. Okay? We don't want a confrontational issue in this committee, and we said to Honourable von Schalkwyk at the time, let's do this in putting South Africa first and not bring baggage and party politics into it. When the Honourable Derek Hanekom took over as the minister of this committee, James Foss, Honourable James Foss then, who was the deputy shadow minister, Trism, and I went to see him and we had exactly the same conversation. And remember, they will know that we've actually maintained that for over a decade. We've maintained a respect, a mutual respect, that we can call people around this room colleagues and friends, even if they are in opposite parties, and we never bring in personal attacks and ad hominem attacks into this committee. Now, that has changed today. So I need you to tell me, Chair, if that's going to be allowed in future, because I can also go on ad hominem attacks, and I can also make accusations against people, and I can make things very unpleasant. But that, in my opinion, is not in the interest of this committee, it's not in the interest of this country, and it's not in the interest of tourism. But if we're going to allow that, let's be open and frank about it. And I would argue that we should not allow that, and we should actually maintain the same working relationships and the fraternal relationships that we've had here for the last 10 years. That has been broken today. I'm extremely disappointed about that.
Okay, can you
see? Yes, there has been an incident by the minister to come and accompany you when you open up the ceremony. I didn't also see the members there. And everyone left here with an invitation of the minister. Now I'm adding to you today now.
Okay.
Ah, you're moving.
Okay.
Some of them.
That's two of them. Bumba bumba. All right. Okay, another one I pray. You know why I'm doing that? It's only because I gave other members second chance. I'm only doing it because of that. Other than that, we should have long closed the meeting. Yes, Honorable Apre.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take this opportunity to also come on the record. Chairperson, I think my contribution to this meeting was very clear and sincere. May have sounded very emotionally charged, but there was no aspersions cast on any particular individual. That's why no names were called when I made the point that I made. I think, Chair, therefore, it is also not parliamentary that people have total disregard for this parliament and the public when they send us on public funds to go and do particular things, and we don't do that. It is therefore important that all members of parliament must understand that when we go on parliamentary business, that we must go and do parliamentary business because we are accountable to the taxpayers. Taxpayers' money was paid for this committee to go there and do oversight, not oversight of one area, but oversight of a whole oversight program. And my disheartenment comes from the point that some of the committee members have decided not to honor the totality of the oversight. And that is something that should not go unspoken about. I think, Chair, we are all in for having smooth relationships and having symbiotic meetings where we agree, but it's also not going to be as old news as it has been in the old. It will never be like that again, because it's because of how it's been in the old that the sector is so untransformed. We are here to be liked or disliked. It doesn't matter as long as the people of South Africa is going to benefit from tourism. And that is my last submission. I thank you, Chair.
All right.
Okay.
Are you not done?
No, I haven't said this. There is no the reference of stinking people. There is no such thing. I have I said a stinking area, and I want to just make it very clear. There is no stinking people that I ever referred to. And if it was understood like that, I would just like to... No. I would just like to state that I have never said that. Thank you.
All right. Okay,
Honorable Duplessis. Chair, purposely kept quiet. Let me just start off by saying, as he was saying stinking people, I wrote it down, so he said stinking people. So I want to understand, are we going to, as a tourism committee, continue the trend that we have in the past, we've been cooperating and working as interests of South Africa, or are we going to be confrontational? Because I'm quite ready to be a fighter and be confrontational. It's my turn to talk, you spoke, I kept quiet, now it's your turn to keep your mouth shut. So I would like to know, Chair, what is the situation?
From you.
I rest my case. So, Chair, I'd like to understand.
Honorable, you can just give Honorable de Freitas his opportunity to ventilate. Over to you.
Sir, I would like to understand what is the position that you would like, Chair, because we would take it either way. To presume that because this committee has been friendly and cooperative, and that is the reason why the entire sector is untransformed, is ludicrous and ridiculous. So let me just put that point. Secondly, we followed the program as was distributed. We did everything on that program, and the additions, most of them we weren't aware of, but we followed the program. So in fact, if you talk to the minister, she would tell you that we had a brief greeting and discussion when she was walking around with the MEC at the capture site. We followed every single one. So no taxpayer money was taken advantage of or anything like that. And in fact, on the second evening, we decided to go for dinner in town, which we paid out of our own pocket. So it cost a taxpayer even less. So I don't know where it is that we didn't follow the program, and we didn't, you know, whatever the case is. So I just want to just make that really clear. So whatever we did, we did according to the program, we followed the program, and what Krombach is asking is just that we get correct facts in this report. If the committee deems it not to have incorrect facts, that's fine, but then we won't subscribe to the report because it won't be factually correct. So that is, Chair, that is what our position is. I'm deeply distressed and saddened by the attitude. I understand some people in the ANC have to prove themselves and say, oh, well, you know, in their caucus, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in South Africa and making this sector a growth, job, economic opportunity, which we all agree is. So that's my position, Chair. Thank you.
Right. I think all of us must agree with Honorable Sithole that the final report is going to be done in the near future. We have not agreed on the date. So on that date, then honorable members can raise whatever they want to raise. What I will request is to maintain the principle of cordiality in whatever we do, and levels of dignity for the committee, but also honorabilism among ourselves, as a committee, right? So by the time we come to that, because I can see honorable members are on the section called observations in the report. So we are not there yet. So we shouldn't be crossing bridges before we come to that, honorable members. We'll come to the bridge. It's a long way to go. We still have 4 years to go. So it's a long way. So whatever members have expressed now should be expressed in that meeting that's coming, right? But I just hope it will be done in a different manner so that we strengthen cordiality, we strengthen reciprocation of respect among one another, and so on as adults in the committee. Now let's come to the politics of South Africa. Black, white, Indian, colored. We are 26 years on the road to creating a South Africa that is not black, white, Indian, colored. Right? So we want to create a non-racial society. It's a long journey that we are going to have to undertake to get there. And when we started this committee in June, I think we inaugurated in June. I think that will continue.
Yeah, we said that the Constitution of the Republic will be something, the most important pillar of our work in the committee only. And the rest of the things will come later. Now, we've got ideological backgrounds here, which are not the same, and I don't think they will ever be the same. And we have agreed that we will not overemphasize our political ideological difference in the committee, but we will focus more on what we have to do for the committee to progress, to move forward. Now, in the arguments that we make for the next 4 years, I will suggest to all of us that our ideological differences must inform our thought process, but not what we express. I don't know whether I'm understood. Right? Yeah. What it means is that, I'll make an example. We know, for instance, that the United Nations declared apartheid a crime against humanity. And we know that there are beneficiaries of the apartheid system which was declared a crime against humanity by the United Nations. So everybody else who, as a result of legislations by them, by the apartheid system, who came after is a beneficiary of that system, right? Now, in the committee here, as we move forward, we all agree on transformation, right? As something that we want to do in the committee. But in the committee here, I don't think it will be appropriate for us on an ongoing basis to continue to say we will need transformation in the tourism sector because apartheid was declared a crime against humanity. Because we know here what we have experienced as a country in the past. So my request will be that we focus more on point of convergence rather than point of divergence in the committee, because ideological inclinations are necessary in resolving contradictions in society. But we don't have to overemphasize our ideological differences now, not at all. But the summary of it, honorable members, is that I think this was an unfortunate development. I understand the point that honorable April is making. I understand the point that he's making. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. I understand the point he's making, but the manner in which you make your point is also very, very important. And I think how we respond also, honorable Krambok, is also important. Because us also in the committee to say, we can fight back, we can do this better, it doesn't help, and so on. Because all those things are secondary. When we took oath, in the house there, they took us in batches. We were taking an oath in the context that our loyalty is to the Constitution. As soon as it becomes to the Constitution, it means the people come first and everything else comes later. So I will suggest that we don't throw insults at each other and we don't also threaten one another in the committee, but we maintain the spirit of cordiality among ourselves. And if there are debates we want to enter into, the report is still coming to the committee. But I will suggest to you, honorable members, that let's maintain an atmosphere of cordiality that we have been having here. Because I think it makes us more productive as a committee. It makes us to focus more on the work that we have to do. Ideologically, we are not the same. The ANC's ideology here is not the same as the DA. The DA is not the same as the ANC. IFP, of course, you have followed. EFF, you have your own ideology, and so on. That's all in the dynamics of politics. But we can't make that to then make or break the committee. I mean, it's not our interest. At the time when we come to the report itself, we will discuss who was where. Where were the apologies, how many were there, at what point were the apologies, and so on. So we will discuss the report at that point, honorable members. And I will suggest that when we reach that state, we must just subtract emotions from the debate and just maintain. It's a long way to go, 4 years. Maintain the cordiality among ourselves and the respect, and so on. From time to time, there'll be this and that, but I'm sure we can manage those things among ourselves. We are adults enough. What is important is that by the time our term ends, the people of South Africa must say, this portfolio committee has here really moved us from point C to point J. We can see progress that we have made in this regard. So, privately, please find a way of talking to each other also outside the meeting. It does help sometimes, honorable members. So, are you in a hurry?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
But you members delayed the meeting. You remember? But I'm closing. What is it, honorable Matika?
I apologize, Chairperson. You know, in the process of pushing for unity and dragging some,
yeah,
we must also reflect the truth. You know, let's put emotions aside.
Yeah.
When we were there, I know.
But remember, I said we are coming to the report. We are not there.
But what I'm saying, yes, Chairperson, is that honorable defeaters said they followed the whole program, whereas we know for a fact they were not there in Mbopomi. So it means we are lying. You understand? But I'm just saying it must be on record that they were not there, and maybe they've given apologies to you or others, but we don't know. So they were not there. So you can't say they followed everything very well.
Alright. Each one of us has got the draft. We have a week. 20 to a week. For a week. So we have a week. We have until next week, Sunday, to make those inputs. So make them, honorable members, right? Do those inputs. Then we'll debate the report when we come to it. Leave the anecdotes, man. Leave the anecdotes. We must focus on the fundamental issues. But otherwise, thanks for the discussions in the BRRR. And I hope that by Tuesday we'll then adopt it so that we can present it in the House. The meeting is officially adjourned.